Talking today with Greg Dowd, chief economist in CBA. Greg, big issues out there, several of them out there right now that I know that you're having to wrestle with in our nation's capital, with regulations and with all types of things that various agencies want to do for us or to us as far as the cattle business is concerned. And I know the one that you've looked at from an economic point of view is this set of marketing rules that the Grain Inspection Packer and Stockyards Administration is advancing right now. We're in the middle of comment period. I've heard that some people describe this as the most sweeping set of rules for livestock agriculture in 90 years. Give me a view from 50,000 feet, and then let's zero in on it.
Well, I think there's very seldom do you have a situation where government involvement in an industry and in a marketplace could radically alter what we do any more than this rule. It cannot be overemphasized how just incredibly outrageous this is. And the fact that what this rule attempts to do is insert enormous potential for litigation and liability into our industry based upon some weird notion of the fact that one guy does a deal with another guy with a packer and one guy doesn't think it's fair, he can sue. And this thing opens up a Pandora's box for trial lawyers to create all kinds of havoc. And why do we care about that in our industry? Because it's a situation where we've worked for 30 years to build a better product for consumers and for guys to get paid premiums based upon relationships for better cattle. This rule would take apart any ability to do that. You can't pay more to one guy versus another. A packer can't, based upon the relationship, the fact that I know you, you have better cattle. Can't do anything based upon volume. It creates all kinds of havoc with order buyers, all kinds of havoc with packer to packers, and there's no economic basis. They provide no basis for any of this change and these regulations and these business relationships.
Now, the claim is up front is that they claim they're not harming or not impacting those branded beef type relationships.
What happens when you insert this potential for litigation is you're going to create a situation where nobody's going to play and they're going to offer one price for what they're going to do. And you don't believe me, Ron? Go back and look at what happened in the state of Missouri in 1999 when they passed a state law that actually the language is remarkably similar. And what happened in 1999 in Missouri? The cattle market, the livestock markets, came to a screeching halt to a point where after 3 months, the governor had to call a special session of the state legislature and get the law overturned, get it out of there. This is not a hype. This is not something that, I mean, we've actually seen this in practice, what this does. These, you know, people are going to walk away from what we do to create quality in this business. And this, you know, there's this, some of these folks think, well, this is, you know, getting the packer to level the playing field with the producer. This couldn't be further from the case. What this regulation does in practice is it pits producers against producers. It pits producers that have put capital and hard work and intellectual property into what they're doing to build a better product and get paid for it against producers that have decided, you know what, I don't want to do any of that. I just want to sell plain cattle. What this regulation does is pit one against the other.
Seems like the guy that has the plain cattle almost wins.
Well, you know, it's a funny thing about the mathematical point of average, half or above and half or below. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's what this really does is, you know, from a processor standpoint, from a packer standpoint, they're not going to get in this litigation game. They're going to say, you know, we're going to put a price out there. Everybody's going to get it. And what are they going to turn around and do? They're going to go in the back in their cooler, and they're going to try to sort like crazy to figure out what they can do to meet their contractual demands with their retailers. Oh, by the way, that's what they did 30 years ago. And we've gone away from that business. We've segmented the business where if the consumer wants to pay more for a product, we've created these alternative marketing arrangements. We've created all kinds of systems where we squeeze that margin between the consumer and the producer to get the producer more money so he has the signal to make that premium quality product. This thing is going to bust all of that up, and it's just, it's a horrendous horrendous situation for our industry. And the fact of the matter is that we, you know, everybody that's in the cattle industry knows this is no longer a commodity business. It hasn't been a number two yellow corn business for a long, long time in the cattle business. And I don't know of anybody that's an NCBA member that wants to go back to that.
When we think about the implications when you get down to some of the practical transactions that are out there, it seems like that one of the more onerous ones are that if you've got some relationship with a processing or packer, you can't sell to another processor.
That's exactly right. If you are affiliated or a subsidiary of a packer, and the best example that we've shown is Agribeef in the Pacific Northwest, they own a feedlot in southwest Kansas. Under this regulation, all of those cattle in that southwestern Kansas feedlot have to be shipped up to their processing plant in the Pacific Northwest. They cannot sell directly to another packer. You'd have to create a middleman. They'd actually have to sell to an independent buyer or whatever and then resell it, which is ridiculous. And the other thing that, so, well, we have a lot of, you know, vertical integration and consolidation in this industry. What's the, at the end of the day, what is the processor going to seek to do? He's going to seek to own them from the beginning and say, well, if I've got to meet a contractual demand for a premium product, I'm going to own them from the beginning and cut everybody out of this thing and just do it myself so I don't expose myself to that liability. You're actually driving that kind of vertical integration and consolidation versus busting it up.
I understand also that it's got some implications on order buyers, particularly guys, say, that go down to local auction barns, that they the rules are going to change on them.
I actually think this is, at the local level, enormously problematic. And what it says is, at small auction barns all over the country every day, you've got an order buyer, especially buying cows, cull cows and bulls, for multiple packers. This makes this illegal. This regulation says no, one guy per one processing plant. Well, what's the analogy there? It's saying that an independent insurance agent doesn't operate in his own best interest. It's saying that this guy as an order buyer is somehow impinging and infringing upon the price discovery mechanism in the marketplace by the fact that he's working for more than one guy. He's paying the best price in the market. I mean, that's what he's doing for what the market will bear. I mean, there's guys out there bidding against, you know, what he's doing every day. It doesn't matter how many of these guys he's representing. And besides, if there was impropriety, and this is one of the fundamental points in all of this, if there was impropriety going on, there is plenty of statute under the P&S Packers and Stockyards Act we've had in place for 90 years in this country. Go deal with that. You know, and there's none of that going on. I mean, you haven't, you know, seen outrageous issues with these guys that are representing more than one processor. Where's the smoking gun in all this that we've got to throw the baby in the bathwater out here? One final point, Ron, that I'll make, and this is the point with that congressional hearing. All of this discussion goes well beyond what Congress asked GPSA to do as part of the Farm Bill process. They specifically asked GPSA to address some issues on poultry. Mm-hmm. GPSA went way beyond that. Congress has very seriously said that was not anywhere near what we asked you to do. There's serious ramifications to that.
But the thing is, at the end of the day, if they decide to pursue this in an activist formula, we're stuck with the rules.
Well, and the question is, you know, is there somebody going to take somebody to court here or how all this is going to work? You know, some people say, well, the processor is not going to let this stand. The processor is going to figure out a way to deal with this. He may not actually be the one that gets involved in this because he's saying, here's the price. You want a standard price? Here it is. Here's my price for the day. I'll figure out what I get, and I'll figure out how to go sort it in the back later. This hurts producers.